that getting married and having children has no relationship. This is the first thing. It may sometimes surprising to people when you say this to them. Getting married and having children has no relationship. This is the Shastric understanding, not based on our mundane society-based understanding. Society will say like that, that oh, you get married and you have children. But that is not how it works. Shastram is telling us in a different way that as far as the getting married and having children has no relationship. Because Prakriti, material nature, does a lot of things here to cheat us. That is Maya. That is why it's called Maya. It's another aspect of Maya to make us think like that. Because we are not conscious of Maya. We take it that everything what we always think, everything is real here and everything what's happening is the truth. Is it not? What Shastram is telling us is this, that just like heart attack is not the cause of death, cancer is not the cause of death. The prarabdha karma is over, the body has to drop. So something has to come and finish up the body then. That is how it is. Not due to the cancer he died or due to the higher cause is that the prarabdha is over in that body. That's why he has to leave that body. And that is only what happens in the form of a disease like cancer or stroke or diabetes or whatever that is. That is only a secondary cause. It's only a secondary cause, secondary thing that is. This we have to be conscious of. In a similar way, as far as taking birth is concerned, getting married is not the reason behind it. Reason behind that is a jiva who is ready to come to this world due to some unknown reason in previous life had to go through that birth, had a relationship with another jiva and has to come through him to this world. Equally he has a relationship with that mother as well. So when these things are there, Prakriti arranges it in such a way that nothing else is required from outside. That is what Krishna is saying there. Annam bhavanti bhutani parjanyam anna sambhava. Yajnyal bhavati parjanyam. Yajna karma samudbhava. Yajnyam parjanyam annam. All three things are related to each other. They are not separate. They work in a cycle. They keep on working in a cycle. So, they will, when it is ready, it is only a false impression we have created that due to the marriage relationship, the child was born. It is not so. Because what will happen is that jiva, when the living entity was to take birth, he enters into parjanya. Parjanya means the rain. And through the parjanya, it comes to the annam. It comes to any grains or any other vegetables or anything. Anywhere he comes and present there. And then, when it is time for him to take birth, he enters in, he will come and fall in the plate of food what the father is going to eat. He'll come and enter into that food. That is how that system works. This system or this computer of the material nature is perfect. It is working all the time. When the jiva has to come to this world, he has to first enter into annam. Food, grains, vegetables, everything is included in that. Enters into that and he waits in there. And then when the jiva's future father, when he is ready for that, he will come into his food and he will come and fall into his plate of food what he is taking. And then he enters into the father. And from there he enters into, because that jiva has already selected him as his father. Selected him as father. And therefore he has to come and fall in the leaf or plate, whatever he is eating, into that. And that annam the father will eat, future father will eat, and this jiva will enter into his body. And when that enters into the female body through the semen to him, and that that annam, that mother annam, she will create the body for him. She will create the body for him. And that is birth. That is God. So, the controlling factor in all these things is the annam. You see, controlling factor is the annam. Annam is the controlling factor. After that, when the baby is growing up in the womb of the mother, the baby starts taking that annam from mother's annam. Whatever mother is taking it, he starts taking it from him. And then the essence from the mother's body, which comes in the form of the milk, and he starts receiving that within the womb. And he drank that milk, everything in the womb when he was there. Then afterwards he started again eating annam when she comes out of the womb. So, depending on the mind of the mother at that time, all that will go into the baby's heart, baby's mind, will grow inside the baby's heart, it will grow in the form of the milk. So, you can see this constantly, matter is getting converted into subtle body, and subtle body is getting converted into matter. Constantly it's happening all the time. That is what Krishna is saying. That is what the Upanishad verse also is saying to us. If you look into that verse which we looked at yesterday in the 3.11. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddhau dhuva smriti. Smriti labhe sarva grandhinam vipramoksha. Vipramoksha. That means whatever food we are taking, it turns into the mind. It turns into the mind. It becomes the mind. And similarly, from the mind it can convert it back into again gross body. Into the gross body also. So this is why it is spoken like this. And that is why there is a much more, that is not complete, that quotation there it is going, you know. If you look into the Upanishad, there's a lot more to it than that. Step by step how it goes. Smriti, Dhriti, everything is spoken. And you will find later that it mentions there that how the food what we consume, it turns into the mind. It's explained in there. So, the thing what Krishna is saying here is that when the baby drinks that milk from the mother, that gets converted into, when it is given with love from the mother, it is at that time the baby gets the nourishment from that. Who is behind that? The material nature. Material nature is behind that. She creates a loving feeling in the mother's heart. And she develops the same feeling in the baby's heart as well, to take that milk from the mother. Attachment for that milk develops in the baby. Tavastanyam manye dharani dharanye khdayata sayambara avaharam parivahadi saraswatamiva dayavatyadattam dravida shishu aswadyadavayata kavinam praudhanam ajani kamaniya avaida. There's a verse in the Sangharayani which mentions this. That he says there that Jagat Janani, who material nature, Prakriti, she enters into your mother at that time and she offers the milk to the baby. The mother is feeling that affection. Where is it coming from? It's coming from the material nature, from Prakriti. From Prakriti provides that. So, this way it works that the Jagat Janani means the universal mother, Jagatambika, Shri Parvati. She enters into the mother and induces that affection for the baby. That is why mother feels so much affection for the child, isn't it, for the baby. And similarly, the baby feels that protection and love of the mother at that time. So many subtle things are happening behind the process of birth. Science does not understand anything, any of these things. They simply see everything on a gross platform, on a gross level. On a gross level. Intelligent scientists, intelligent doctors, they see this. They understand that it is not in their control. Whole process of birth is so subtle behind. So So many subtle activities happening behind, and we are completely ignoring all that. We believe in all this modern science, what science is telling us, and we accept that as the process of birth. But you can see from Krishna's statement and the way Upanishads are explaining about the birth, that the whole birth process is too subtle for us to understand. So many things we don't see behind the scene, so many things are happening. Mother, material nature, presently, she is operating through the mother. The law of Krishna's law of birth is operating behind the scene. Of a living entity, how it takes birth in this world, coming through the Annam, falls through the father, comes through the father to the mother, and where it gets the complete nourishment and further growth from then on. So, this is what we understand from Krishna's statement, that when we face this Dravida Shishu, then so many stories you will see, either she has fed the milk directly to the baby, like Yanasambandha, or she has given the milk in a normal way to the mother. So, that drinking that milk, the baby grows up. Baby grows up, isn't it? So, if that milk has got satuguna in there, so that is very nourishing and helpful for the baby. And after that, he started taking the food, isn't it? Then he start eating anything and everything, whatever comes into the hand. So, normally, human body is created for eating the vegetarian food only. But due to some misguided understanding in the head or wrongly wired inside, and therefore he starts eating the fish and the meat and all other things, isn't it? So the important point is that material nature has not recommended fish or meat or any of those things for human consumption. You may agree with it, some people may not agree with that. But because in Ayurveda itself, there is some places these things allowed, fish and meat, and things are allowed there. And if you look back into the history also throughout, you will see a lot of people do take non-vegetarian food, is it not? Non-vegetarian food. A lot of people do take non-vegetarian food. Majority of the people are non-vegetarians in this world. They are not vegetarians. But if you look at it in the natural way to our human body, you can see that we do not have any provision in our body to eat this food, non-veg, meat or fish or anything like that. And there is no instrument for that which has provided in us. That means that you can see the food that animals eat, like the tigers and the lions and all that, they have got special teeth for that, and also special acid that creates an enzyme for them to digest that, and their habits also, if you look, that normally the meat eaters, they sleep during the day, they prefer to sleep, and they are awake in the night, Of course, now human society, half of it is also like that, isn't it? The whole wake in the night. So, there are so many things like that, spoken about that. So, from this you can understand, when you look at these symptoms, that people who are vegetarians, they have the proper facilities provided in them to live in agreement with the nature. So, animals who are eating the non-vegetarians, by birth itself, they accept that non-vegetarian food. By birth itself, they can accept that. They do not weigh it. But normally, human species, when they are babies, they are not fond of this non-vegetarian thing. It's introduced to them later by the parents or by the society where they grew up. So, in many ways, when you look at it, you can see that human body does not acquire that. It is not allowed for the human body to consume. That is why this sattvikam, sattvika aharam or sattvik food, importance is sattugunam. Sattugunam should come from that. From 8-18, from there to develop spiritual knowledge and realization is not possible. That is not possible. That is why, if you have to read that in the Chandogya Upanishad, Sanat Kumara Maharshi talks about that. It's a very long statement. What he says there is that how will knowledge, spiritual knowledge develop? Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to Narada Maharshi. First thing he says, Chitta Shuddhi. Purification of one's chitta, subtle body has to happen. Then the knowledge will come. How will the subtle body will get purified? If there is satoguna. If there is satoguna, it will get purified. So, how will satoguna will come to a person? If he is provided his food, what he is taking inside is pure. If it is pure, satoguna will develop. Ahara shuddhau satta shuddhi, he says. There's a long words about that. So, here, that is what Prabhupada is also mentioning here. Ahara shuddhau satta shuddhi, satta shuddhau duvasmadhi. Smriti lavadhi sarvagrandhinam vipramoksha. Sarvagrandhinam vipramoksha. So, two things. One, that annama idam prayadhiyate. That means that the food what we take, it gets distributed in three different ways. Distributed in three different ways. The most gross form is the one what we get expression from us, what we get released from the body. The middle part of it, that turns into the flesh in the body, and or it gets absorbed in the blood. And the most subtle part of it, that turns into prana and the mind. Prana and the mind. So you can see there is a conversion of the gross annam into mind, which is subtle. Thought waves, isn't it? Otherwise, where will... This you can observe yourself, how the mind is relating to the food what you are taking. There is a story about that. There was a great king who had an advisor, a sannyasi advisor, who helped him in his administration, gave him a lot of instructions about spiritual life, everything. This sannyasi never used to take food outside. He always used to make his own food and they eat it. In one instance, he had to visit the palace, the king's palace. And when he went to the king's palace, the king had a lot of discussions with him and it got very delayed in the palace. He could not go back to his own ashram that day. So the king told him that I have prepared for arranged prasadam everything here in the palace. So you should have the prasadam and then decide to go whenever you like to go, said to him. Initially the sannyasi said no. I do not take food outside. He told the king, I won't take it outside. I'll make my own prasadam, I eat it. But today, the king has put a lot of pressure on him. So he decided to stay and take the prasadam. He took the prasadam that day. Everything was prepared very well. He took the prasadam. And by then it was quite late. So sannyasis, there was arrangements made for him to stay in the palace. Because he was a very reputed person, well known and learned, and he was recognized by the king in that way, he wanted him to stay that night and he stayed there. That night while he was sleeping, he noticed that in the room there was a very expensive garment there, made of jewels and pearls and everything, hanging in the palace inside that room where he was staying. And he thought, who never thought such a thing before, he thought in his mind, why shouldn't I have it? Why shouldn't I take it? They won't suspect me that I will do such a thing. So he took that, took it with him, next day he left. Nobody said anything about it, nobody had thought about it. After a few days or so, that was worn by the king. In special occasions, they were came to look for that and they was gone missing. So they made inquiries and the king said, king never suspected that the sannyasi would have taken that. After what will the sannyasi do with that? So he made inquiries, he couldn't find it, and then he left instructions to the minister that keep a look for that and find out who has got it. That night when he, that day when he left the palace with this expensive jewelry with him, he went home, he was feeling sick. He was feeling sick. Now, he had diarrhea that night because of eating this prasadam in the king's palace. So, after a while, after he went to the toilet many, many times for the night, like you know when it is like that in diarrhea, after that, his body became very weak. When the body became very weak, he started feeling a proper way how to think in a proper direction. Up to that time, he felt that he was not even able to think properly. He has taken prasadam in the palace and he has done this. But when he had felt sick and that next day, after all this happened, he started feeling that I've done a wrong thing. I've done a wrong thing. So he decided to go back to the king and hand over that jewel, garland back to him. So took it back and gave it to the king and told him that I have done a very serious offense. I should have done that, but it has happened. What can I do? And at that time I felt like having it and I took it with me. But when I went home, I felt this sickness, serious sickness in my stomach. And when I had went to the toilet many times, I felt very, very weak. And when the body became weak, he observed that his vision was getting much more clarity in him, unaffected by the rajogunam and tamogunam. When you eat a lot of food, and that too particularly the mode of passion and ignorance, you will have this subtle influence on the on your decision making, on your mind in such a way that you will go and do wrong things. Whereas if your mind is, if you don't allow too much food for the mind to grow stronger, you don't allow the mind to become strong, you will naturally think in the right direction, in a sattvic way. So that's what has happened to him. But he told the king these things and king said, no, that is not right, that you might have taken it. And somebody who has stolen actually must have brought it to you, and thinking that you will not be punished, he must have, because the king is still thinking very high of him. Thinking that the king must have brought it, king is saying that you have brought it here to protect somebody. That thinking that he may get punished, that's why you have brought this garland here. So I'm not going to punish you, but I'll take the garland back, he said. Sannyasi was not happy about that. He kept insisting. And then the king asked him that, do you feel disturbed about that? He said, yes, I do feel disturbed about that because such a thing should not have happened to me. Why did that desire come up in my mind first instance? So he thought about that and he said to the king, you asked me to take that food in the palace that day. I should not have taken. That food has caused all this problem. Can you find out where that food has come from? He says this to the king. So king actually called the minister, and the minister called their cook who were in the kitchen. They were called him and asked them where did that annam, where was it brought from? The rice or wheat or whatever that was used. So the cook came and tells him that some days ago, a grocer's shop was looted by a couple of people. They have looted all these grains and took away a few bags of rice or wheat, whatever that was. And they were caught later. Those people were caught later, who have stolen that. And when they were caught, they were trying to retrieve that from them. They got back all the grains, what they have stolen. And they wanted to give it back to the shop owner who owned it. But shop owner never bothered to come and claim for that. So in the king's administration, the rule was such that when something is not claimed, it will go back to the palace as owned by the palace. Like here, the government also is like that, isn't it? If nobody, suppose you die and you leave a lot of wealth behind without any proper will or anything, everything goes to the treasury. In the same way, everything went to the treasury. So this food that was brought in from that looted property, that was the one that was used for the feeding that day while food was cooked. So he explained to the king that it was okay from the Shastri point of view to bring it to the king's control. But as a sannyasi, I was not supposed to eat that food because it was brought in the wrong way. He was not allowed to eat that. So, and that is exactly what has caused my problem. He says to, so subtle is this thing, food, that it can cause this problem to them. So, when it is like that, Krishna is saying here also, that the annam, what we take, when it goes in three different directions into the body, in a very subtle level, it is influencing us all the time. Our mind, our gross body also gets affected by that. So that most subtle part of the food, what we take, is turns into the mind and also the prana, which makes the heart to beat, isn't it? So sometimes we can see some people, when they have, when you have taken the food in the wrong place or from the wrong people, it can instantly, it will cause a disturbance inside. And nobody has to tell you that. After eating the food, you will feel it yourself. You will feel it yourself, that disturbance, isn't it? And what's the reason behind it, you don't know. After eating the food, you started feeling the disturbance inside. Or after eating that, you feel as though something is happening to you within yourself. So, and you felt and you feel getting angry with somebody or upset with someone, or bad thoughts comes inside, or somebody is not very pleased with you, some irritation inside. So if you inquire, you will see that something what you have consumed, even the night before, went to sleep, something must have gone inside and that must be causing this problem. Food has such a close relationship with the mind, the functioning of the mind. When mind is getting agitated, sometimes you can see when you get moved off mode, you become completely depressed or tamasic nature comes in, rajasic nature comes in. You will always notice that behind that, there will be something what you have consumed, working there. That is the medium through which material nature controls the modes in us through the food. Through the food. But these are simple things in life which we don't give any attention. We don't take notice of all these things. You can leave all the big things. At least these smaller things are more important. And smaller things, we ignore them. And in the body also, the most subtle form, the sushma, that amsham, that part, will go inside, and from the level of matter, which is the form of matter in the beginning, it turns into energy. It becomes energy, and later on, it becomes the mind. It becomes the mind. That is why in the Upanishad you will see pranam, aharam, pranam, and the mind. They are all closely connected. They are all closely connected. And eventually, it will go into the mental platform. Manomandala, it's called. If you look into Taittiriya Upanishad, how it's spoken there, annamayam upasangramya, pranamayam upasangramya, manomayam upasangramya. Upasangramya means transcendental. First of all, from annamayam. From the annamayam means annamaya kosha, that sheet around the cell. First you transcend that, then pranamayam, then it becomes an energy. Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam. So once it has come to the manomaya platform, it will go up to that. And that, once it has come to manomaya, it affects our decisions, our determination, and everything will be affected from then on. Depending on that, what food is gone in. When it gets converted into annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, when it comes to manomaya, if they are food that has come from the lower modes of nature, tamasic or rajasic, it will definitely have some influence on your decision making and your thought waves that is coming inside. So, because immediately after manomaya, what is the next one? Vijnanamayam it is. Vijnanamayam. Vijnanamayam is that Vijnanamayam is where decisions are made, isn't it? Intelligence. Intelligence is Vijnanamayam. So, Vijnanamaya Kosha, as it is called, this is in the Patanjali Yoga Sutra, it is also in the Upanishads, separately. So, that is why decisions are made in that Vijnanamaya Kosha. And in Vijnanamaya Kosha, that there, when decision is made, that is where Shraddha is created in a person. Shraddha is created at that point, in a person. So, Vijnanam Yajnam Tavasratade Karamam. Brahman Jeshta Upasane Pramasana. So, Sharire Bhav Manohiram. Because Vijnana means decision power, decision making power. That is in the Vijnanamaya Kosha. And that is where Shraddha also is created in us. Shraddha is also created. What we are, otherwise we call it as the determination to pursue a particular way of life or a particular decision what you are making at that time. So, by now, it has come to a very subtle form. The gross food, what is known as Annamayam, it has passed through already three different platforms, three different phases. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam. And now it has come to Vijnanamayam. By now it is too subtle. We don't know that, what is happening at that time. But Shastram is telling us that this is how it is working. From this we can understand how important it is to Sadhana. Is it not? That is the point what Krishna is driving at. That he is saying to us that most of the most subtle function of creation of this Shraddha, determination and the decision making, all that is happening in the Vijnanamaya Kosha is controlled by this food, what is going in. What is going in. So that is why Vijnanamaya Kosha is a very subtle kosha, subtle sheath. There, in that is where all the decisions are made. I want to make a lot of money. That decision is made there. Is that Vijnanamaya Kosha? That is where decision is made. And that's exactly where Rasayalpiya Buddhi is also made. That's why Rasayalpiya Buddhi is mentioned as Buddhi, because it is mentioned, decided in the Vijnanamaya Kosha. That's where that decision is made. So, whatever decision that is made, the mind has no other option except to work based on that. That decision what is made in the Vijnanamaya Kosha. So, if I decided that I have to make a lot of money in that Vijnanamaya Kosha, the Manomaya Kosha will function to support that and go along full steam with that. So, and it will continuously, the mind will be absorbed in the thoughts related to making money. Related to making money. So that we can see, the decision made in the Vijnanamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha has to go along with it. So, aharam, once it, the food, what you have taken, it has gone beyond the Manomaya Kosha, then it will influence the Vijnanamaya Kosha. That is the point. If it has gone beyond the Manomaya Kosha, then definitely it will influence the Vijnanamaya Kosha, the next step. Vijnanamaya Kosha. And there it will affect our determination, our Shraddha, everything. Because the reason Upanishad says Shraddha Shiraha. Shiraha means the Vijnanamaya Kosha, in that Vijnanamaya Kosha, the head is Shraddha. Shraddha comes from that. The main, when we say head, means it is the topmost thing in the Vijnanamaya Kosha is the shirasa. Shiraha Shraddha. Shraddha is the shiras of the Vijnanamaya Kosha. Vijnanamaya Kosha. So there, if it is not proper, the Shraddha will go. It won't stay. That is why you can see this, that in your own programs also, suppose you are studying Bhagavatam whole day and you had prasadam at midday, lunch, prasadam, whatever, as a full meal or something, you had it. And many Bhagavata speakers, they won't say anything serious topic after the midday. They won't discuss anything. Because what will happen is that this prasadam that is inside, what is gone is, it is getting converted from annamayam to pranamayam to manomayam to vijnanamayam. In that process, it won't be able to capture anything. Something seriously, something spoken, it won't be absorbed by the audience. By the audience. So, and people will sit there, but at the same time, because can't get up and go, they will sit there, but nothing will be received, nothing will be taken seriously. It won't get in. So, any important topic, if you are discussing Bhagavatam all day, important topic you have to talk in the beginning, in the morning hours, when you are a little bit receptive, in other words. Afternoon, after midday prasadam, if you say anything, they may not even hear it. They won't be heard. So, later on by afternoon, that capturing power goes away. Goes away. Because Shraddha is not there at that time. Shraddha will be gone. Like you can see that what they say is that sometimes when you have a big feast and all that, after eating all the feast, you can look at the people. You know this tamarind? When it is packed and dispatched, if you look at the tamarind, have you seen that? You should look at the tamarind. Tamarind is like this. If you punch it, it will take that shape. If you punch this, it will take that shape. So similarly, that how the tamarind takes its shape, it's very like a sponge it is. So people will sit like that. They compare that with this tamarind. Pressed tamarind. Which are, first they will sit like this, then they will sit like this, then they will sit like this. This is the body. What is problem? What can you do? That's the way it works. So, very little part of us, we have got a very little time in life to take something seriously. Most of the time, this body dictates everything, what to do in life. Is it not? But something to do seriously about spiritual life and spiritual topics to discuss. We have got very little time in this world. When you are a little bit receptive and you have got some seriousness to listen and to absorb it. And even that way what is absorbed, hardly 1% goes inside. 99% goes away. Isn't it? So, so therefore, in many places now, you can notice this. When you have a long period of discussions of Bhagavatam, so sometimes it's difficult when you are organizing, you have to organize it for say 14 days, 12 days, 15 days, 41 days, like that. They have to organize it that way. But they won't give a big feast at lunchtime to keep the manomayam low. They can have a big meal in the evening before they go. But during the day, they'll try to keep it to the very minimum. Like the way Parikshit was practicing. Parikshit didn't take anything, did he? For the 7 days, he sat there with all that. So, annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, they are all connected to each other. And vijnanamayam is where Shraddha is coming from. So, if your annamayam is very high, if you have consumed annam to a large degree, then naturally it has its effect on the prana, manomayam, and vijnanamayam, and the Shraddha. That's coming from the vijnanamayam. That is why Krishna is saying all these things to us. That for those who want to progress in the path of spiritual life, only for them, only those who want to advance in the path of spiritual life, to develop these qualities of sattvaguna, Krishna is saying to us these important things in the life. So, vijnanam, vijnanamayam, that vijnanamandalam is very much influenced by the manomandalam. Vijnanamaya kosham is very much influenced by the manomaya kosham. Manomaya kosham. So, these things, Shastram says to us these things. Shastram is telling us these things. It's up to us to properly reflect on that and to take it. And we have to try it on ourselves and see whether it is true or not. What Shastram is saying. You have to try it on yourself and you will find that it is correct. What Shastram is telling us. That's the only way you can verify that. What Shastram is telling us, you try it on yourself. If you yourself restrict your prasadam and see how receptive you are in hearing Bhagavad and Bhagavad. So, and that effect, you can notice it straight away. You can notice it straight away. So, Krishna is saying that food, what you are taking, it creates the gross body and it creates also the prana inside, and but it goes beyond than that and it goes right up to the buddhi level. Nishayandriya buddhi, that is the definition of buddhi. Nishayandriya buddhi, sankalpa vikalpa mana. Sankalpa vikalpa mana, nishayandriya buddhi. Nishayandriya means decision making. That's where decision is made. So, prasadam, if you relate with all these things, you can notice that nishayandriya buddhi, if it is influenced by the prasadam, then how important prasadam is it not? If our decision making, which is coming from nishayandriya buddhi, or our vijnanamaya kosha, which is nishayandriya buddhi, if the food is going and influencing that, how important is the prasadam what we are taking? Is it not? You can see from that. And it is that prasadam, and if it is things which are forbidden, if those things which we eat, naturally is there any wonder we don't feel any enthusiasm for spiritual life? We don't feel any enthusiasm for spiritual life if we eat those things which will come and affect our buddhi, nishyalpiya buddhi. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, if this vijnanamaya kosha or nishyalpiya buddhi, if it is not proper, then you won't feel any proper enthusiasm or encouragement to do the things properly in spiritual life. You'll feel a mood off all the time, not getting attracted to spiritual life and not feeling any necessity for spiritual life, always mind going in different directions. And no ananda, no happiness either. Sandosham, modam, pramodam. These things say in the Upanishad. If you want, you can look at it in the Taittiriya Upanishad. It will say this when Prabhu went to Arjuna, asking these questions. He said to him, it's called Bhrigu-veli, there it mentions there. Bhrigu-maharshi says there, annamayam upasankramyam, pranamayam upasankramyam. Transcend all these things. Manomayam upasankramya, vijnanamayam upasankramya, anandamayam upasankramya. He is saying one after the other, how one should transcend all of those things, isn't it? So, when you say that, when you have feeling that of mood and feeling that something has affected us, you can, first thing one should look into is what has been eaten. When you are feeling off mood, first thing to look at is what have I eaten to cause this. And you won't feel any kind of energy or enthusiasm inside to do anything. And that is a symptom of tamoguna. Symptom of tamoguna. And sometimes when you see people in that mood, you can more or less say your day is also being spoiled. When you see people in that way. That is why it is said there that right up to the vijnanamaya kosham, arrived to vijnanamaya kosham, the influence of annam is there. Influence of annam is there. The food what you are taking, influence is there. So, therefore, annam's influence is like this. First thing, it goes into the gross body, sthula shariram. It goes into the gross body. Then it goes to the subtle body, sushma shariram. And then finally, it enters into the karna shariram. Causal body. It's in the karma sharira. Karma sharira means that, what is karma sharira? Karma sharira means that in the deep sleep states, that thing, that ignorance, ajnana, which is covering our intelligence, that is what is called karma sharira, causal body. It sometimes these things is difficult because karma sharira is the most difficult part. Sushma sharira we can understand. Why? Because it is related to the mind. It's related to the mind. Karma sharira, the problem is that karma sharira, mind doesn't exist, and that is why we are finding it difficult to understand it. When we talk about karma sharira, people always ask this question, what is this karma sharira? Karma sharira is nothing. That in your deep sleep state, Actually, what you should experience there is the blissful nature of the soul. That's not that happening. But buddhi is not registering that. Intelligence is not registering that. So karma sharira is nothing but your buddhi, which is operating in the sushma sharira, which is operating, that means in the dream state, and which operates in the vacant state, is not able to operate in the deep sleep state. Have you noticed that? Our intelligence, it operates in the vacant state. It operates in the dream state also. But it cannot operate in the deep sleep state. Why? It's covered. It's covered. And that is covered by tamoguna. And that coverage is called karmasharira. That's interesting, isn't it? Mind, we understand, it gets dissolved in the deep sleep state. Because mind is sattva-bhava-sattvam, isn't it? Subtle body, right? In the part of subtle body. So, in the sattva-sharira, when it is operating, mind is still very active in the dream state. Mind is projecting so many things in front of us. All what has happened during the day or before sometimes, everything comes through the dream to us. But when you go into the deep sleep, when all these things have gone away, and the mind is also quite dissolved or dissolved in some in the self, intelligence should be there operating. But intelligence cannot operate in the deep sleep state because of the coverage put around intelligence by the karma sharira, tattamona. That is avidya. That is what Krishna is saying here. So the body, sushma sharira means that body which is experiencing the dream state. So now, subtle body, sushma sharira, what we call the subtle body, is nothing but that body which experiences the dream through the mind. And so, and sthura sharira is the gross body. Sthura sharira is the gross body. So, if we prasada, what is gone, has got rajasam, tamasam there, there must be some disturbance in the gross body. There must be some disturbance in the subtle body. And there will be disturbance in the subtle body. And you won't get a deep sleep either. You won't get a deep sleep either. It's all because of this prasada. Prasada is causing this. So, that means sometimes we can see that you will see where you are getting a deep sleep. Turning this side, turning that side, so many other things. It's all happening to a large extent, the influence of the prasada. Influence of the prasada what you have taken. So, so Patanjali and other rishis also telling us, if you do not sort out these food habits properly, you can go and do any yoga class you can attend. And any kind of yoga, jnana, bhakti, karma, whatever you want to practice, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. Everything will be like this only, as it is. It will remain like that. So, and therefore, their advice is, there is no point in practicing spiritual life if this prasadam, what we take, if it is not properly prepared, and consumed in the proper way. So, that is there. So, annamaya kosham is the most important kosham anandam. Because what annamaya kosham is receiving, that is what it is passing on to manamayam, pranamayam, vijnanamayam, all other koshams. They receive from the annamayam. So, if annamayam itself is in a bad shape, then you can imagine the effect of all that on all other sheets as well, other cautions as well. And therefore they say that your yoga practices, one who is practicing yoga process, any yoga process, jnana, karma or bhakti, if annamaya kosham is not in the proper shape, there will not be any possibility of further growth. Further growth. That is what Krishna is saying here. And Krishna is also saying here, it will be, if it is Surya Bhakva. If it is Surya Bhakva, it is the best. Krishna is going to say that in these verses, coming verses. This word you will see, Surya Pakvam. Agni Pakvam, Surya Pakvam. Two words used in the Bhagavatam also, when they discuss about the Vanaprastha Sannyasa Ashram. That food what we consume, it is the best for creating satogunam inside if it is grown in the sunshine. It is grown in the sunshine. It has a tremendous effect in developing satogunam inside. That is why we say eating vegetables grown in the sun, grains grown in the sun, it will naturally create that, developing that satogunam, and in turn everything, the environment also will be perfect. Will be perfect. So let's look at that verse 8. Ayur sattva balarogya, sukha priti vivardhana, rasya snigdha sthirahrudya, ahara sattvika priya, ayur sattva balarogya, sukha priti vivardhana, rasya-snigdha-sthira-hridya, ahara-sattvika-priya. There, Krishna has said something very important. He is saying, ayu sattvam balam arogyam sukham priti vivardhanam rasya snigdha sthira hridya ahara-sattvika-priya. Ahara-sattvika-priya. Foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. And pleasing to the heart. That's the translation. Let's understand what exactly Krishna is trying to mention there. So these are the food Krishna is talking about, that kind of food what is very dear to those who have got satuna, who have got satuna in there. In other words, food what we should eat. So in there, the first verse itself, Krishna is saying there, whatever we need is mentioned in the first line itself. What is that? Aharam sattvam balam arogyam. Balam arogyam. That means, Krishna is saying, ayu sattva bala arogyam. And ayusa. Ayusa means duration of life. Duration of life. And what it means is that ayu means our duration of life. Whatever that has been given to us, you will have a life, that full life. What is allotted for us in this body, you will have that. It will be taken out before the man. One. That is ayu. Satogunam means, satogunam will increase in a person. And what it means is that ayu sattvam. Sattvam also, you will get a refined power inside in performing austerities and penances. For performing austerities. In other words, that driving force inside for spiritual desire, the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, spiritual self-realization, these things will come on the top of priority over everything else. And otherwise, you can see sometimes people who don't have any enthusiasm for anything in spiritual matters. Nothing will get into their head. And it's very difficult when you have to deal with people like that, isn't it? And it's somehow or the other a dullness has got into them. And if you look at them, you can see that very much on the annoying caution. That's nothing you can. So, and sometimes you will see people, they have eaten all sorts of food and develop their body with full of muscles and full of strength. But this side is empty. nothing gets clear. Why is it like that? So, well, that is what Krishna is referring to, that sattvam. Sattvam is referring to that. That sattvam is one's own existence, purification of that. That is sattvam. Sattvam also means that this is not creating the baggage inside. So if that baggage is full of this, some of the people whom you see in this world, it's amazing how they, and the absorption in the body, that's what I'm saying. So absorbed in the body, they find it difficult to come out of it. And no matter how much you tell them about all of these things, nothing will work. Nothing will get inside. And to some extent it's there in us also. It's not that it's gone away completely. But some are cases you will see that they are extremely difficult for them to understand about spiritual life. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that very difficult that. And Balam, when Krishna is saying in the next words, Balam Arogyam, he says here. Balam does not mean physical strength. What it means is that Sukham, Sattvam, Balam Arogyam. What it means is that you won't get such diseases. What kind of diseases? Those diseases outside your prarabdham. If prarabdham brings something, you can't do anything about it. It will take control of the body. So those diseases, what comes through prarabdham, like chronic illnesses, big diseases like that, that is prarabdham it is. That's the prarabdham. There's nothing you can do about it. And those things won't be affected by this. Those things cannot be, nothing can be done about that. But other illnesses, like in a daily life, little things that comes and gives us disturbance, stomach problem, and all other kinds of things, they won't come. Arogyam. Krishna says, Sukham Preeti Vivardhanam. If you look at that, Sukham Preeti, the second line, Sukham Preeti Vivardhanam. That means, you will always, we have that prasadam like that, you will always be in a pleasant mood, pleasant nature. You will build up within. A fullness inside. Preeti. Or happiness inside. Or a lightheartedness, not disturbed over anything, feeling relaxed about things. So these things will get better if the food is satyam, if it is satyam. And the food that will increase these things, it also increases the juice in the food, it will be absorbed, and snigdham sneham. Rasya snigdha stira hridyam. Ahara satyagampriya. Sukhapriti vivardhanam. Rasya. Rasya means it increases the rasam. Juicy. And snigdham. Sneham. That is, snigdham means that love is, food is absorbed with love. In happy mood it is consumed inside. Not caressing it, but happiness has taken it. Isn't it? So, and it gives strength inside. For me, and hridyam. And all these are symptoms of the food that is in the sattvagunam. Sattvagunam, food that is in sattvagunam will create all these feelings, Krishna is saying. Which one? Ayu, sattvam, balam, arogyam, sukham, preeti, vivardhanam. Rasya, snigdham, stira, hridyam, ahara, satyagriya. Satyagriya, nature is like that. And if you want to fully understand these things, you have to study Ayurveda. That's where it is spoken in length. They will give you a lot about it. Every vegetable, every fruit, and they can give you in detail analysis of them. In which mode they are. Sattvam, rajasam, tamasam. They can tell you those things. So, our word here is Surya Pakva. Surya Pakva means that food that is grown in the sun and become ripened in the sun. That one. So food actually has to come from the sun. Food has to come from the sun. So particularly those vegetables which are grown in the sun. Even the milk that is consumed from the cows who are growing up in the sun. All special. So, in the Bhagavatam, when Vanaprastha Ashram is discussed in the 11th canto, Krishna mentions this there. And also in the Saptamaskaram, in the 7th canto, when Sadachara Murmayam, that means about Grihastha Vanaprastha Ashram discussed, there also Krishna mentions this. So, who knows better, Krishna knows better what is right for us, is it not? That is what Krishna is saying, if you don't accept Shastram, then it's very difficult to do anything. So, after in the old age, you can see, you should eat food which is not Agni Pakvam, but it should be Surya Pakvam. That's why you will notice in the Vanaprastha Ashram, by then you are over 60, isn't it? 50, 60 years old. When you go to the forest, there's no facilities to cook. You collect those food things which was grown in the forest. That is Surya Pakvam. Up to that time, it is Agni Pakvam. Agni Pakvam means what is cooked by the, in the fire. In the fire. So, let's look at the, if you look into the Vanaprastha mentioned in the 7th canto, you'll notice that he mentions that in the 12th chapter. What is Agni Pakvam, Surya Pakvam? So, Sun. Sun has prepared it for us to eat. Because this is talking about the Vanaprastha Ashram is mentioning there that this kind of food is suitable for him. That if he takes that kind of food, it is the ideal food for that ashram. Ideal food for that ashram. Agni Bhakvam Akhamanva Arka Bhakvam Dahare. Arka Bhakvam is better for him than Agni Bhakvam. Krishna is saying there. It is spoken by Srinarayana or Sri Krishna. So, food that is cooked by the sun. Now, if you say that, we are doing solar energy now, isn't it? Everywhere. That I don't know. I don't think that's important in this. It's not solar energy he's talking about. You may say like this, isn't it? So, because it's coming from the solar panels we have got, so now we have all become Vanaprastha Ashram. That doesn't happen. What Krishna is saying is Vanaprastha Ashram, that food that is grown in the, say if you go and buy all the frozen stuff from the Iceland or wherever, and then say I use the solar energy to cook it, that's not Surya Pakvam. Surya Pakvam means, or Arka Pakvam, what the word Arka is Surya. What is actually grown in the sun. Sunshine must have had its effect on that food what we eat. Then it will create satogunam in a person. That's what Krishna is saying to us. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Nobody can deny that. Because we are eating all this rubbish from the place that, so we are like this. There's nobody to blame about that. Isn't it? So, Arka Bhakvam, Krishna is saying, that which gives a lifespan completely and which increases satugunam in a person and that kind of food. And if the aharam is good, sattva aharam is pure shuddham, then sattva shuddhi will come from there. How will the aharam become shuddham? Because generally the aharam shuddhi is some aharam is by nature itself is it has got shuddhi in there. Many of the vegetables are like that, isn't it? You can't say all the vegetables, but many of the vegetables have got by nature they are pure. They are satugunam in that. Karela is considered to be one of the best for satugunam. Which you know what karela is? Bitter gourd, isn't it? Yeah. It is extremely good for creating satugunam. And certain spinach creates satugunam. the certain types of spinach, paste, katuna. And onions, as you know, is particularly not allowed. It is considered to create tamogunam in a person. People ask this question, why can't, it's also vegetarian, why can't we have it? Reason is this, it creates tamogunam in a person, isn't it? So, sometimes people will ask that question, what's wrong with onions? And then they will say that, reason is that for a dharma, for a spiritual life, it's not allowed. It's not allowed. Now, we're talking about character, we're saying that. Doctors will say, oh, it's good for diabetes. It's good for so many. That's how they are looking at it. But Shastram is looking at it in a different way. That vegetable is particularly creates a satogunam in a person. Shastram knows better. We don't know why it is so. It's difficult to explain. You can't bring everything outside like that and tell people that this is what it is. But that is what it is. Shastram is saying to us. And similarly, same thing with onions. You say onions has no satogunam, it's all tamogunam in there. People won't understand. They will question that also. Okay, sometimes you may have to take it as a medicine or something. And that is there. They say for cholesterol, or you may have to take it in the milk and boil it and take it. If it is prescribed like that as a medicine, you can take it. But generally what Shastram is saying is, the annam, food what you take, that itself should be like a medicine. Annam is like a medicine. That's what Shruti is saying is, that annam should be taken as medicine. And some vegetables, by its nature itself, the way nature exists, they are not, they are forbidden for to eat. Then, after that only you want to talk about meat, fish and all other things. Obviously, those things, meat, fish and all, Krishna is considering them as two. It's put into that category, amedhyam. He uses the word there, you can see that in the 10th verse, while talking about the tamasic food, he says, yavayamam gadagasam pudi paryushitam chayat ucchishtam avicha medhyam. Amedhyam. These all belongs to that. Which one? Meat, fish and things like that. It is amedhyam. Amedhyam means toilet, drink, whatever that is. That's it. So, that's where Krishna has included that, into that, those who are eating that. And that's why you can see that it's difficult, isn't it, for them to come out of that habit. So, that is not included here in this. So, Krishna is saying, because these food, what Krishna is talking about, is for those who are in spiritual life, for them to take notice of that. Not for ordinary people. Because, for example, if you tell an army soldier, if you are an army soldier, Krishna is not saying you should only eat vegetables. He's not telling him that. And you can't put this was the mistake the Buddhism has done. That one law for everybody. That's not possible. One law for everybody. They made everyone a sannyasi. And said that everybody should become a sannyasi. And that is not going to happen in this world. There will be only a small section of people who will look into the spiritual life. When they are ready for it, they'll come to spiritual life. And those who have come to spiritual life, only they will be interested in all these instructions. Majority of the people, for example, those who are fighting in the war, Kshatriyas, they are allowed to eat meat. They are allowed to eat fish. So many things are exceptions to them. Why? Because they need that rajasic nature in them to fight the war. To fight the war. So therefore they are allowed. They are allowed. It is only those who come to adhyatma, spiritual life, who wants to progress in that path, who have little bit relaxed about the bodily identity, and for them it is beneficial. That is why Krishna is saying it like this. He says here, all this law only applies to people when they come to adhyatma. This applies them. And that is what Krishna is going to talk about here. Now, Paul, you can't ask the question on a social level, including everyone in this world, in relationship with these verses. You can't ask that. Therefore, Therefore, when Krishna puts all these restrictions, you must always remember this. Because you have taken to spiritual life, you have to follow it. If you have not taken to spiritual life, then it doesn't matter. You can go to hotels, eat the food there. You can eat anything, anywhere, anytime. All these restrictions don't apply. But if you have taken to spiritual life, Krishna is saying that if you want self-realization, if you want the knowledge to build up inside, satugunam is necessary. In order to develop that satugunam, these rules must be followed. That is the law. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, the ayuru sattu bala aryogyam, isn't it? So, that does not create damage to your lifespan. It keeps you going. And there it has thought, in a two ways this ashuddhi, impurity will come into the food. One, in a natural way it has got impurities inside. Certain kinds of food has got its own impurities inside. Then, impurities due to association with others, samsara, it has happened. And one of the important persons there is the person who cooks the food. Who cooks the food. And the person who sells the food, and their mind, their mood, all those things will get into the food. Will get into the food. So, it is pointless to go into the details of that because if you cook your own food and eat it, that's the best solution to all the problems. To cook your own food. And those who are coming to spiritual life or in the practice of bhakti, bhakti process also, generally to for them to move forward, general recommendations is, what the mother has cooked, you can eat. Only mother, not even wife. What the mother has cooked, one can eat. What is the reason for that? Reason is this, in the mother's mind, there never will develop a negative thought against the child, against her own child, children. And it is impossible to develop a negative feeling. Even in a mother who is not very spiritually advanced, even in a mother's mind, to develop a negative thought against her own children will be extremely difficult. Therefore, a mother's food can be eaten at all times by the children. By the children. Husband and wife, no. It's not necessary. Sometimes, everything will be normal, but inside there will be still negative feelings. Isn't it? You will control it for existence reasons. Husband or wife, either way. It's not that pure as the, that is all in this world it has happened, these relationships. So, even for a sannyasi, he can eat if it is cooked by his mother. If it is cooked by his mother. Because the only place where no negativity develops, it's in mother's heart only. Only in the mother's heart, no negativity develops. Mother will not feel a negative thought towards the children. Children may feel towards the mother. That's another side of it. Children may feel. That's not possible. Because that's the way the material nature is created. But mother, difficult for a mother, to feel hate or anger inside towards the son. That will never happen. Wife will get it, mother won't get it. Husband will get it, but mother won't get it. So, because this husband-wife relationship is not proper relationship, unlike the mother-son relationship. The big difference there. That we won't know it. We will know it only when you go through it. Husband-wife relationship is centered around selfishness. Very much centered around selfishness. And even this mother-children, son or daughter, that relationship, if you look into the material nature itself, even among the animals, it exists. Among animals also, it exists. Therefore, because while cooking that food, that tyagam or sacrifice is a natural thing. It has to be there, sacrifice. When a mother is cooking for her own children, she will be sacrificing a lot. There will be a feeling inside, it's for my own children. It has to be the best. And you'll do your best as you can. When it comes to the husband, it may not be. And for all, he can eat it, that's all. If he likes it, let him have it. If he doesn't, leave it there. He gave it to me, somebody else. That thought will come. It's unavoidable. And I know it's, these things are there, but normally people are not talking about it, but the reality is like that. Then, even if mother will think when she is feeding the children, that if I am not having my food, he should have the food. The children should have the food. Therefore, she is not doing it, thinking it as a work, as an effort. Without any effort, she is able to do that. That is what Krishna is saying, that word, hridyaha. You see that word? Rasya nindastina hridya. Hridya means that. That you are, without any effort from your side, with whole heart, you are fully, with a full heart, you are able to do it. Cook the food. That is hridya. That is hridya. It's difficult, isn't it? In life, when you are in a complex situation, especially in family life, all these things, factors just happen. Krishna is saying, finally, you know what Krishna's instruction is? The best thing to avoid all complications is to cook your own. And do that with wholeheartedly, so that no negative thoughts from the other who has cooked will enter into our own mind. So, that is what that food, what Krishna calls it is hridyam, the word hridyam. So, therefore he says, if you chant the holy name and see that it is being cooked for Krishna, and with that full surrender, if you cook, and with that, this is there in every religion, religion also, isn't it? Even Christianity, they say the grace before they take food, isn't it? So we all recognize that, that something is there, connected with the food and our spiritual life. It may not be the same way like in the Sanatana Dharma. In other religions also I'm saying, it is there still. So many families, they still follow that. It's enough, saying the grace before they take the food. They may not go deeply into it, but still recognizing that, that thanking Krishna for what Krishna has given. So that gratitude, even while cooking the food, should be there. By chanting the holy name, or by not allowing bad thoughts about others coming in and able to cook and make it an offering to Krishna and then taking it as a prasadam is an absolute necessity. That's what Krishna is saying here. So here, now this situation, everyone is not in a position to do it, to cook your own food. Particularly when you start working and if you have to go away from home, and you are in some faraway place where you are working so many long hours, and sometimes you may have to buy food from hotels or restaurants or something like that, and you can't cook, you don't have the facilities to cook. If in that situation that your destiny or nearly fate has put you in that situation, so what should be done in that situation before you take that food? Fully thank Krishna for what has come to you, and offer that and take the prasadam, offering it to Krishna. So, this annam, what goes inside, the digesting that responsibility is with Antaryami. Antaryami has to digest that, isn't it? So, that power of Antaryami, aham vaishvamara bhutva pranam deham ashrita, is it not? You remember that word? That vaishvamara, who is vaishvamara? Vaishvamara is from Antaryami comes. Antaryami, Vaishvanara comes, isn't it? So that is why Praninam Deham Ashrita Pranamana Samayuktam Kajami Anyam Chaturvidham. Krishna says from there pranam comes and all the operations of all the five different kinds of air in the body. Samayuktam, balancing everything. Kajami Anyam Chaturvidham. That Anyam is Chatur, four kinds of Anyam Krishna has spoken there. So because it is like that, in the Vedic system, that taking prasadam or food is considered to be a yajnam. It's considered to be a yajnam. And the name of that is pranavasana. They call it as pranavasana. Not that, I sat in the restaurant, where is the menu? I looked at the menu and I chose this, and I ate all that. What I like this, I don't like that. No, they didn't look at it like that. They say, taking prasadam is a yajnam. Taking prasadam is a yajnam. Worshipping the deity is a yajnam. And worshipping deity came later. Taking prasadam came before that in the Vedic tradition. Worshipping deity came much later. The taking, making it as prasadam and offering and taking it came before that. So you can see, you have to give attention to this, that in the Vedam, if you look, there is various mantram there, suktams, Indika, Dvayam, Vijayam and all that. All the mantrams are there for worshipping Shiva, worshipping Vishnu and all other mantrams like that. And we use them for worshipping the deity. In the temples, they use those mantras for worshipping the deity. But those mantras that is mentioned there is mostly referring to the prasadam what you take, more than mantra for worshipping the deity. There are so many mantras mentioned in the Veda referring to Shiva and Vishnu. But those mantra that is mentioned is for offering the food to them, to the deities, and to take the prasadam. That is what is given importance there. Not worshipping the deity as such, but rather that converting the food into prasadam by offering it to them. The mantras are related to that. Related to that. For taking, similarly, there are mantras for taking the prasadam. Pranavasa, Shardhaya Pranena Nishto, Vyanena Nishto, Amadam Jihoni. So, the name they call it as Pranavasana, Prana Agnihotram, another name given to that. And what it means is that, this annam what I am taking inside, let it go inside, let it not burn me. Let it not burn me. Instead, let it not destroy the digestive power I have inside me. That means Vaishwamana. Vaishwamara power, let it not get destroyed by this food, what is going inside. And let it create auspiciousness inside, shanti inside, everything. So, there Purusha, Angushta Matram, in the Purusha Suktam says, Angushta Matram means the size of this, is considered to be the presence of this Vaishwamara inside. And let him be pleased by this food, what I am taking. So, so, that he is present inside, that Vaishwanara, Krishna who is inside, let him take this food and let him be satisfied. That is called Pranagnihotra. So, you can see from there that they gave importance to the daily life. Spirituality is always daily life. Not doing a big project. In daily life, how you conduct your life, that is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. For example, going to the temple, going on pilgrimage. You can do all those things, but they are all supplementary things. In your daily life, how you are managing your existence here, that's more important. That means because daily life is more important than any special day or a day of celebration. Festivals or special days or going on pilgrimage, going to the temple, all these are secondary things. How I keep myself on a daily basis, every moment, that's more important. For spiritual life, that's what is more important. Because that is what brings steadiness in me. I become steady that way. How I conduct myself, by every moment, not allowing to the mind to waver around, and attracted to sense gratification, and also developing that spiritual consciousness all the time in a person. So these daily practices is given more importance in the Vedam rather than doing all other things. You may or may not go on pilgrimage. You may or may not visit the temple. You may or may not do various many big things in this world. But this daily life, how we manage every day, is given more importance than anything else. So that is why it's called Nishtha. Nishtha means that steadiness in there.
discipline there.
So Krishna calls it as aharam. Food is a major part of that on a daily existence. And therefore it's called prana agnihotra. Agnihotra means it's called. So for realized souls, these rules don't exist. These rules don't exist for the realized souls. Because they have already known what is to be known. What is to be known. And therefore, when they are taking food, it is pranagnihotra in a natural way. It is pranagnihotra. And whether we have told them or not, they are conscious while taking the food, all these things. Because of their realization. It's already there. But this is spoken for those people who are not self-realized, who have come to the process, who have come to this path of spiritual life. It is only for them all these things are spoken. It's not spoken for those who have not taken spiritual life. That's also taken off. It's not for those who have already realized the truth. It's only for those who have come to spiritual path and who have become serious in spiritual life. So, when annam is consumed in that way, and it has to be offered to the adhyami inside, Vaishwanara, isn't it? So, annam, when it goes inside, it should be pleasing for that adhyami who is inside. It should be pleasing for him. So, whether it is digestible or not, power for digesting that food, even if it is not digestible, that food is not digestible, that food, in order to get that digestion, the body will be able to generate that power, even if it's not digestible. There is examples in the Bhagavatam followers. There is this great sage Agastya. Once he was served food, a Rakshasa was killed, Vatapi and Illura. You will see the story in the 9th canto. Vatapi was killed and it was offered to Agastya. Agastya ate it happily. Nothing happened to Agastya. He digested the whole food. Digested the whole food. And similarly you will see some people that they can eat certain things, they will digest it. They will digest it. How it is difficult to say. The only reason is that it is a special power that they have achieved like this, that is kind of siddhi that they have got it. And this power is the power of the Andaryami inside. Andaryami inside. And if it is goes inside, any food which normally won't be digested, it will be digested if the Andaryami wants to digest it. So that Andaryami who digests in the form of Vaishwanara, Vaishwanara has got that power to digest anything. But he has to wake up. Only thing, that's the only when it will get digested. And that is why Vatadi Jirno Bhava. When Narasimhashi ate that meat, which was a Rakshasa's food, and when he ate that, this was what Vatadi Jirno Bhava. Jirno means digesting, getting digested. He chanted this, Agastya managed to digest Vatapi although he ate him. Similarly, any food what you eat, it should have the power to do the right thing for us. And in order to generate that power, it is necessary to get the help from Andaryami. Andaryami's help is necessary. So therefore, if there is no possibility of getting pure food, proper food, in that situation if you have to eat something, at that time, that is the only thing you can do by chanting the holy name. And praying to Andaryami to digest that food. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see Jadavarma's cousins, they were giving all sorts of food to him to eat. Is it not? You know that. That he was given all kinds. They won't give any proper food to him. Urandal, and that too soaked in the water from that. And then all rejected food from the night before. These things were given to Bhagavashi, Jatavarna. And Bhagavatam says, when it went inside, it became nectar for him. Amrutavat, he said. It became like amrutam process. Normally people would have digested that, would have got sick. But when it went inside for him, it became amrutam. Because why? He thought while taking that food, if this is what has come for the Andaryami inside today, if this is the offering, let him be get pleased. The constant remembrance of Krishna in the heart, and that way consuming that food. So, that's all we can do. When we get sometimes, we have to eat food in that way, which is not properly prepared by proper place or proper time in initial circumstances. If food comes like that, we may have to say to Krishna to digest that. Krishna has the capacity to do that. And as much as possible, only sattvika food is to be eaten. And these days you can see that people don't have any particular, they are not particular about what they eat, isn't it? So all sorts of things people are eating. There's some people who are joking and they say, all those things which cross, they accept the train, they say we'll eat everything. And all that things which fly except the airplane, they'll eat everything. Jokingly they make it like that, a statement, isn't it? So in other words, they eat all sorts of things for them to have. So that is one reason why they say not to eat in the hotels. Not to eat in the hotels. So so therefore, in order to, even in situations when food is not sattvikam, by chanting the holy name and offering to Krishna, it will get purified and digested. It will get purified and digested. It will at least go into the body without creating any disturbances. So therefore, food is considered to be nivedyam. Nivedyam, isn't it? So taking prasadam is nivedyam. And it is also offering to, it is an offering to Andaryami inside, and we are taking the prasadam for Andaryami inside. And in that mode, one has to take the prasadam. So, then Krishna is saying here, Ayu Sattvam Balam Arogyam. Some vegetables you can take it every day. And some vegetables you can't. Do we take it every day? You should not take every day. That you have to find out from the Shastram yourself, what they are. Because that is spiritual life, knowing these things. And not only that, every individual has to find what is the right food for himself. That also he has to know. By experiments and by studying the Shastram, one has to make up what is good for him, for his own satvam. If you know that, it will help a lot in life. Particularly those who are performing austerities in life, certain things should not be eaten certain days, every day they shouldn't take it. Certain things, they can take it every day. like four kinds of food, they say, Pajapinam Chaturvidam. They talk about it. In the Guru Ashtakam, they say, four kinds of food, is it not? So, yeah. So, you can see that you can't eat all of them every day, but certain food which increases sattvagunam, we should find out from there, and that will help in our spiritual life. Similarly, certain grains are helpful. They will help with ayusa sattvam balam ayurvedam. So, after you have heard Bhagavad Gita, if you say that, oh, I don't want any of this food, I will only eat, I've given up all these things. So, that is why in the Bhashyam you will see there, Ayu Sattva Bharayogyam. He says here that, that the food what we take, Mriyate, some people, they have the capacity of living with very little food. They have that nature, eating very little, isn't it? And there are people who don't eat at all, very little they consume. There are special powers they have got. And some power you will like, that you will see in some personalities. There are many people who have gone into the yoga process And who are living in the places like Himalayas. If you go into Badrinath and Kedarnath, you will see that there is nothing there to eat. And they are living there. And you will wonder how they manage. Many of them don't eat any food. They have that power developed in the Siddhi in them that they can survive without eating any food. Particularly if you go to see to Kedarnath, you will see on the way quite a lot of people like that. So, many, many years they have lived like that without consuming anything. And that is Siddhi, that they are quite aware of the process. We don't have that kind of Siddhi, isn't it? We, if we don't get our breakfast, we will collapse. That's our Siddhi. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, you have to be careful about it. When you are trying, you should look up to them and start thinking that I'll follow them. That will not work. That's the Siddhi they have developed in the yoga path. They have gone in the yoga path for quite a long time. And they have developed that power in that way. There were many like that who consumed very, very little food. Sometimes you see that always. So, Balena Tapasa. Tapasa Shraddha. Shraddhaya Medha. How things go one to another. Shruti says like that. So, tapasya.
Krishna saying there, Ayuja, Sattvamcha, Balamcha, Arogyamcha, Sukhamcha, Preetiicha, Dasam, Udhana.
All these things, he says there, it creates a strength where Sattvika Balam. Sattvika means power for the nerves. Power for your nervous system. It's not coming from the dambam, ahangara, kama, raga. It's coming from the nerves get the power to do that austerity is what you need to do. And some things give solely power for the body. It gives a strength for the body. And if you do not have in the sattva-guna, if it does not happen, and if your nervous system develop certain power, you may become neurotic. You can become neurotic. So that's the difference. And that means after some time you start talking nonsense. Because you become neurotic. And because why? The body hasn't got the strength, proper strength. And so therefore, the power that you give to the nerves should be dominated in the sattva-guna. In sattva-guna, that power should be given to the nervous system. Nervous system. And the health-wise, that food that does not create any kind of illnesses, disease in the body. If there is a food that does not create any disease like that, so that what it means is that all kinds of food without any discrimination, eating that, that's what is causing the problem. That's what is causing the problem. It's so interesting to study this because, you know, it's always discussed in the press also about eating habits, isn't it? In the modern, particularly those talking about dieting and doctors and all that, they say not to put on weight. They look at it from a different angle. They look at this gross body, isn't it? So, not to put on weight, they say that it's better to eat little, many times in a day. But take very little, but spread it over a few times. When you are hungry, take a little bit. Then give some time. And then again, if you feel hungry, take a little more. That means in a day, you may end up eating half a dozen times or more. This is their conclusion. Shastram is saying, that's wrong. You see how it is? Shastram says, if you have to eat once or twice a day, that's wrong. Don't eat many times. That's wrong. From the Shastram point of view. So, you can see that everybody comes to modern science, they interpret it. Because they are not looking into the world of spiritual life. They are looking into the body to get a shape proper. You know, it should look good. And no extra fat in the body. And they measure your body all around with the tape and see it is all according to the... the goal is different completely. For that may be the one. But that doesn't help as far as the... For spiritual life, it's a bad habit to eat many, many times in a day. Similarly, you can see here, that certain things like sugar, we eat sugar, but how far, how much? That is the question, isn't it? Because sometimes in the temples also, in the street rice they will load it with sugar, so much sugar. It goes in, then what happens? Atharam maduram phalam. That's not good. Therefore one has to be careful. This when you sing that adhara madhuram, that's all first thing. Everything is so madhuram. Something so sweet. So there you know it is risky to take a lot of it, isn't it? And liters and liters of this sweet rice, because it's so sweet. And it creates that taste so well that you take it like that. So as much as possible, Krishna is saying, we have to take care of all these things. Sugar is not rejected, but to be cautious about that. Certain food, if you take it, it creates shanti inside. That's what he's saying here. Sugam priti vivardhanam. The word Krishna has used here. Rasyaha, for example, fruits, milk, shakara, that is this jaggery, ghee, butter, draksha, that is the grains, badam. All these three things one is allowed to take, and you can say like Ekadashi day, but not too much, all restricted. And therefore, otherwise, not emptying the stomach, but at the same time, always if you eat it, all these things continuously, then you will build up and expand yourself in a big way. So that is what Krishna is saying here, there, that rasyaha snigdaha stira hridyaha. These are the foods that is related to that. In the olden days, Brahmanas ate the food. They have a process called Uvastaranam. Even now you will see here and there what they do with that. Uvastaranam means that when you serve them prasadam, they will ask for ghee first. And they will mix the ghee with the rice or chapati or whatever, and first they make an offering, and only then they will eat. They will eat. This is what caused a problem in the, when Devasura, when the nectar was brought, and Asuras stole it, is it not? From Devas, demigods. And Asuras started, Mohini Murti came in the middle and sent the, told the demigods and the demons that I will distribute. Krishna wanted to get it out of the hands of the demons and give it back to the demigods. That was the problem. The demons have stolen it from the demigods' hands. So Mohini Murti form was taken by Krishna to confuse our demons and make them to hand over the pot back to her. She told them, that whole story is there in the 8th canto, you can read that. So the pot was given to Mohini Murti. Mohini told them that I will distribute the amrit, nectar to everybody, and told both of them to sit in a line. One side Devas were sitting there, other side Asuras were sitting there. So when Mohini Murti started, because of her beauty, the whole Asuras were completely captivated by that. They won't say anything to her, because she put the condition to her first, them first. If you say anything, then I leave the whole thing and go. They all kept quiet. And she started serving the demigods first. The two planets, Rahu and Ketu, they noticed this, that there is, because they were really clever, they sensed this. So what they did, they got up from the demon's row, they got up and came and sat in the middle of the demigod's row. Two of them, they sat there. And Mohini Murti started serving the nectar to all of them. Now all others are demigods sitting there. So naturally they won't, as soon as it's given on the plate, they won't put it inside straight away. They won't eat like that. They will do Uvastaranam and other things. This Rahu and Ketu, they didn't do that. And that is how it was found out who they were. because they didn't do this vasarna. So it was found out, Rahu and Ketu have, as soon as it came, they immediately put it inside, into the mouth. So when others noticed this, the demigods were sitting there, and they looked at them and they understood that they are not belonging to our group. It comes from another one outside. And they reported to Mohini this thing. By then it is gone already up to the neck. Krishna took the Sudarshan and cut their throat. And that's what those two are. Rahu and Ketu in the sky. So you can see that Brahmanas will notice this. Upasarana means the, what they generally do before they eat. That they ask for the ghee and they mix it with the rice or chapati and they make an offering and only after that they will eat that. So now they are saying, oh, don't eat ghee because cholesterol will come. Cholesterol will develop. They are saying. And not only that, the ghee what we get is actually not ghee either. Something else. I don't know what that is, but. So pure ghee, what they use for upasarana, what they use for upasarana, that is necessary while eating. And first couple of, the first time when you eat that, it should be mixed with ghee. And these things were very well followed before in the temples and all, but prasadam, in the olden days when they were serving prasadam, these things were taken very seriously. These things were taken very seriously. Nowadays all that has disappeared. Nowadays all our modern system is, we bring, put all the pots on a table. Two, three people stand there. And everyone stands after that a queue with like a begging bowl in the hand. And we call it as buffet. Or whatever name it is. The whole idea goes away completely of he taking prasadam. And then you are given whatever it is and then you say, I like this, I don't like that. And all sorts of things happens at that time. So in the olden days, when the system was working properly, when the system was existing in its proper form, at that time, even when, before the food was offered, Ashtajornam was given to them. Ashtajornam means, in Ayurveda, they have certain things which are helpful for digestion. Those were given to them to help the digestion system. So, and the first lot what you take the first time in the hand is always given with ghee. It's always given with ghee. So these things help the digestive power, and particularly certain times during the year our digestive power is weaker, like in the rainy season and things like that. So if you take these things, it will digest the food better at that time. So always you can see the temple and prasadam and the health, they are all connected to each other. They are not separate issues. Temple life, another life, and my private life is private life, and personal life is personal life. This is all modern things. It was never like that. It's always linked to each other. You take your food in such a way that is properly made in the temple or cooked at the temple and offered to the deities and eat in a particular way in association of the other devotees or the system. That is why you can see Ayurvedam, Vedam, Tantra. Three things representing the three things. Ayurvedam, Vedam, Tantram, they are all together. They are never separate. So, Yoga Shastram and Yoga Shastram, all these are linked to each other. And therefore, restrictions while eating. Restrictions while eating and making the offering to Krishna also. So you can only eat those which can be offered to Krishna, isn't it? All this is, even though it is all sattvikam, all of it is sattvikam, still you can't eat a lot of it. There also there is restriction. Just like fruits, milk and jaggery, all these things can be offered. They are all sattvikam. That is why Krishna is saying here, it becomes hridyaha. That word there? Rasya, snigdha, stira, hridyaha. It becomes hridyam when it is offered to the deity, when it is offered to Krishna. And that means while taking the prasadam, you have chanted the mantra properly, and the person, this is another interesting thing, person who is serving the food, prasadam to the people, he has, this is the system, he has to ask the person, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? And it is his duty. Even serving prasadam is an art. While serving prasadam to the person, you have to ask him, are you satisfied with the prasadam? Or if you want anything more. What I'm saying this is, these days, none of these comes into the equation. Isn't it? Every time it's like a battle goes on there. In so many places you cannot notice that. So that asking that question is to express your love for that person who had come. You have come and accepted the prasada, respecting that. That is what it means. And not otherwise. Oh, you want to eat, otherwise just leave it. Not that attitude. That's not prasada service. That's completely against the principle of prasada. Sometimes they do like that in several places. They say, if you like it, you take it. If you don't, you just leave it. Say like that. That's not a prasadam service, isn't it? So that is not hridyaha. That's what I'm saying. This word hridyam is referring to that. A lot of meaning to that word, hridyam.
Hridyam means asya srigna sthira hridya.
Hridyam, it should become, so that if it is taken that way, when it goes inside, it will work properly. Otherwise, if somebody gives you food like that, and if you eat it, you will say, oh, that person has cursed me and given me this prasadam. How would you feel? It will stay in your mind. And if you have taken that food, it won't digest also. It will give you trouble. So if you feel there is a problem anywhere like that, don't go there. That's the best thing to do. It doesn't matter, because you are only inviting trouble more than help. So, Krishna is saying, Sattvika Priyaha, all this is increase the sattva-guna. This sattvika nature, you can see by nature, when they eat prasadam, you can observe this. And you know that they are in sattva-guna or not. And when they eat that, you can see there is a tremendous amount of sattva-guna in that person. And sattva-guna, what it does is, if sattva-guna increases, chitta-shuddhi comes from that. Chittam Shuddhi. When Chitta Shuddhi happens, then the power for Advajana, for self-inquiry, self-realization, that power will build up inside. That seriousness will develop inside. And it is for this purpose that we have to increase the Sattva-guna. Increase the Sattva-guna for that purpose. So, what is the proof that Chittam has become Shuddhi? Shuddhi has happened. Because in that case, there won't be any thoughts coming in. Unnecessary thoughts won't develop inside. In two states, they say, there won't be thoughts won't develop inside. In tamogunam, there is no chitta-vritti. In tamogunam, chitta-vritti won't be there. And in tamogunam, there is, you can see, you are always in a dozy state, isn't it? Dull state. Alasyam. They call it alasyam. Krishna uses the word alasyam. Jadyam, jadatam, a kind of a dullness in a person. Their mind won't move. You will lie like that. Like you've eaten a lot and you are lying down somewhere, not bothered about anything, what goes on in this world. That's tamoguna. And in that tamoguna, there is no chitta-vritti. There is no chitta-vritti. And that is all kashayasthiri, nothing there. Similarly, if you are in a meditative mood, in spiritually, in a meditative mood, for example, if you got absorbed in Bhagavatam seriously, very seriously, some parts of the Bhagavatam are so attractive when you read it, and if you get absorbed in that, thought waves won't come. It's the nature of that state, dhyanam state, meditation state, that you have to practice it and experience yourself. That Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly, and Bhagavad Gita also, has got that power, that provided you have given time and depth, and Sattva-guna is there inside, you will get attracted to that, to read that aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam and enjoying that inside. At that time you will notice unnecessary thought waves won't come inside. So in these two states, in Sattva-guna thought waves won't come, in Dhyanam state, meditative mood also, thought waves won't develop inside. No movement at all. And that is austerity. So So kashayastiti means this staying, this dharma staying. That means, just like what has happened at that time is, all your vasanas inside, that has become very solid. And it will lie inside, like you see the, what do they call the asphalt, isn't it, the tar, that they pour on the road. When you pour it, what happens? It falls down and then it spreads and it stays like that. Similarly, all our vasanas inside will stay like this. It won't make any movement, no movements inside. That is in tamoguna. That's what happens at that time. And that is tamoguna. In sattuguna, when you are in the sattuguna, the symptom is very pleasant, cheerful about the situation. And at the same time, you will have a meditative nature inside, able to go into shastram and absorb in the shastra. Shastra gives, comes inside in a natural way, able to release that shastric injunctions. Nothing like that. Even if you are sitting quiet somewhere, mind will in a natural way is in a pleasing mood, shanti inside, and prakasham. All the qualities related to sattvagunam will develop and there will be no chitavritti inside. This is all associated with the with that state sattvagunam. So when there is no chittavritti inside our mind, in a natural way there will be a prasannada. Prasannada means a kind of happiness inside. Or they call it placid, they say. Placid is in shanti there. That is a symptom of sattvagunam. But it won't stay very long. It won't stay very long. Because that is the nature of all the gunas. Sattvagunam also is like that. Generally, if you look, you will see in the morning you feel more sattvagunam in a person. And suppose you have slept very well and you woke up and the food what you have eaten the night before, if it is properly digested and then you have gone to the bathroom, finished all your business there and you have bathed yourself and you are ready, and then up to 10:30 you feel reasonably in a sattvika nature. It is a sattvika nature. But you can see as soon as you take your breakfast, whatever time that is, of course these days everybody takes so early. But normally in the past they didn't take it so early. They took it about 9-10 o'clock. After you have taken some prasadam, you will see the slowly it changes inside. So sattvagunam at that time say goodbye to you. Once that thing goes in, morning, breakfast, once it goes in. Then dhyana, meditation becomes very difficult. And that you can see up to about 8-9 o'clock before the breakfast, and the nature of the people, if you look at them, and afterwards if you look at them, you can see how they sit, how they listen to things. All these things changes in the people. That is what they say. Initially when they come first time, they will come, they will sit in the yoga state before, say, 7 o'clock or so. But 9:30 after the prasadam, they start moving this way, that way, and trying this, trying that, back pain, and all things will start building up, everything at that time. And so, that person who has taken food, it changes the mood straight away. That means that sattvagunam has already left you by then, when the food has gone inside. The food has gone inside. And what happens is that that prasadam, whatever he has taken at that time, it's not an ordinary food, because you can see in deep programs like marriages and all that, he's not bothered about your sattvagunam, is it? You have hired a group of people, caterers as they're called. They come and they'll go. He's not concerned whether you're in sattvagunam or rajagunam or tamagunam. All he is concerned about that, he wants to prepare something so that you like it. Taste is important for him, is it not? Just so that people will say, oh, prasadam is very good. It's not based on sattvagunam, it's based on the taste. That's what you know. So therefore they will prepare the food to make it tasty. Either they will pour a lot of ghee into it, if it's a vegetarian food, tons of butter into it, and then make it very thin. Or put a lot of cream on it and make it very thick of cream. Things like that they will do to make it more tasty for the tongue. That's what the marriage party wants it. And same thing, if you get any hotel or restaurant or anywhere, that's what they do, or the cooks, what they do to make the food tasty, they put a lot of oil into it. Whatever it is, that way they spice it up in such a way that food is tasty. So that is not what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying, Ayu Sattvam Balam Ayogyam and Sukham Priti Vivardhanam Rasya Snigdha Sthira Hridya Ahara Sattiya Priya. Sattiya nature is not to go after that tasty food. That's not Sattiyam is looking for. Sattiyam is saying here that Sattvam, when it is gone inside, it will show up itself. When he is taking food, it will show up. Because if the food goes inside and if Sattvam is going away from inside, then that means something wrong with the food. Is it not? Suppose you have taken some food and in that Sattvam you felt in the morning before you took food, if that leaves you, it means Sattvam, the food was not in Sattvam. That's what it is indicating. You are playing to it. Continue.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
When there is sattva guna in a person, what Krishna is pointing out Here, in. When there is Satugunam in a person, there will be Shanti, peace inside. And it is at that time, Upanishad says, Tamasaparam Darshayati. Tamasaparam Darshayati means that you are able to go beyond the darkness. Beyond the darkness. And the world, which is full of illumination, you will get that gap through which you can get into that world. What is our now present state is that due to tamogunam in us and rajogunam in us, whatever that is spoken about spiritual life is everything another world for us. Is it not? We are not experiencing it. Because our circle is centered around this tamogunam and rajogunam, this world of tamogunam and rajogunam. Satugunam is the gap through which we break out from this and get into that wide world of spiritual life. To understand spirituality, experiencing that will only happen when Satugunam builds in a person. In Rajogunam and Tamogunam, we won't get any breakthrough from our conditioned state. Conditioning is this, Rajogunam and Tamogunam is the conditioning. So as long as Krishna is saying, Upanishad also says this, that you will be able to see that light outside, beyond this ignorant state, what we are in today. You get a breakthrough that to see into the world of light, which is light of Satugunam, full of knowledge. And that is what Krishna is saying here. That is where, when you will experience this Aham Spurti. What Krishna says is that Aham Spurti. A Spurti is called the word. In the Bhagavatam you will see that word used, Spurti. Awareness of who I am. Instead of thinking I am this body and suffering day and night, able to come out of that and start experiencing that I have nothing to do with the body, it is rather pure consciousness. That Aham Spurti, I am. That Spurti comes out through easily through the Satugunam. In Satugunam it will come out. So Satugunam, that is the speciality of Satugunam. Satugunam is like this, they say in the instrument, the string instrument, veena or guitar or whatever it is, that if you tighten up to a certain level, you can play it well, isn't it? By tightening the strings and the proper tension, whatever. So, similarly, then in the body also, if the Satugunam is there, there will be a lightness in the body, no conflicts in the mind, no conflicts, and intelligence will always be very fixed in things like that. And at the same time, this awareness of I am, which is inside us, then it will be very clear inside us, completely different from the body and the mind. At the moment we are unable to break away from the body at all conditions, isn't it? Always feeling that I am this body. I am very quick to react if there is anything happens to the body. What Krishna is saying here is, in Satugunam, when that Satvajnana builds up inside, quite easily you will feel a release from the grip of that body. From the grip of the body, not only body, the mind, intelligence, everything. Just like the saying that when you churn the yogurt, from there how you get the butter comes out from that. Similarly, very easily you will experience that spurti or spandanam. You will see it inside, that separation happening inside, separation from the body will happen inside. So, that then so Satugunam, when Satugunam is there, seeing that experience of Satugunam and the result, after effect of that Satugunam, you will start experiencing, when then it is at that time you will become a strong desire for building up the Satugunam further, because of the happiness that is coming from the Satugunam. In a natural way it gives you the impetus to build up Satugunam inside. So Krishna is saying here, and in the Jnana Margam as well as the Yoga Margam and Bhakti Margam also, that Bhumigalabdhi means that you are grounded on a certain plane. Just like plane gets grounded on somewhere, similarly we get grounded on a certain plane. And that situation, Krishna is saying here, that chitta, chit shakti, that operating within us, and if we manage to get established in that Satugunam, then and your shraddha has grown in that way, Then afterwards, if Rajogunam or Tamogunam comes, it won't cause any problem. If you have got established there, in that state, that means through Sattugunam, if you have developed Sattugunam adequately, and that separation from the body, mind and intelligence is started developing inside, and if you got established like that, then even if Rajogunam, Tamogunam comes later, it can't do very much damage. Can't do a lot of damage. The problem is this, that Sattugunam when it builds up in a person, it stays for a very short time and it goes away. Immediately taken control by the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And that's what the problem is. And that's what Krishna is saying. That when you get this experience with Sattugunam and see the advantage of Sattugunam, how it turns into knowledge, into realization, Atmanbodh, self-inquiry and now bhakti, everything. It develops in a very natural way within the heart and it also gives you that lightness inside, in the body, in the mind, intelligence everywhere. No conflicts in the mind. That is the advantage with the Sattugunam. No conflicts in the mind, lightness in the body and fixed intelligence. Always fixed in intelligence. Intelligence is not wavering. Most of us, what was happening to us is, in spite of all our effort, often what happens to us is somebody says something and creates confusion. Causes conflict inside. And this is due to the lower modes of nature working there. Nature of Rajogunam and Tamogunam, that is it. If Sattugunam, if you are established, conflicts won't come. Because there is no question of any conflict. Where is the conflict? Conflict is, if Bhagavad Gita is a, cannot be a conflict, is it? You can accept Bhagavad Gita, you are even finding difficulty sometimes with Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam also. So many questions will come and it will derail the whole thing. So you are struggling all the time. So when this is purely due to the absence of the Sattugunam inside. Sattugunam gives you stability, in other words, in spiritual life. It gives you stability. But it can happen some instances, even great personalities sometimes, that even though they had gone through a life of spiritual life in a long period of time, sometimes due to prarabdha something will happen in their life. We don't know anybody's history, do we? Who knows? We don't know our own history. What do you talk about others' history? We don't know about our own history, what is in our back behind. And how our vasanas will lead into what problems tomorrow, we don't know about it. So when it happens to somebody, when we do not know about them enough and what is in their baggage, sometimes situations can happen. That is come from prarabdham and it is not due to the modes of nature. It will manifest in some form in them. So Sattvagunam has got this one advantage that it develops some stability in spiritual life. Stability in Shraddha. Shraddha, that is stability, isn't it? So, and then Rajogunam, Tamogunam comes. They will come. Definitely they will come afterwards. But because you already had that experience of the separation from the body and the mind and the intelligence to a small degree before you have experienced that, therefore, when Rajogunam, Tamogunam comes, it won't disturb you. It won't disturb you. Because you will know, suppose if it hasn't happened, when Sattugunam comes, you may have the meditation mode, dhyana comes from there. But when Tamogunam comes, it will go. If you are not grounded on that. If you are not grounded in that. So, these gunam, three modes of nature, is also like the seasons. You know, like summer, winter, autumn, spring, like that. They keep coming and going. So, and it will change every day, like the weather, it will change also. So, sometimes you will see months together, you won't feel any inspiration. Nothing coming, you are just struggling on with life. And, or sometimes you see for months together, you feel an inspiration for spiritual activities. It's never the same, it's always changing. Many people you can see when they come to the spiritual life first time, and after they do a few weeks or months of practice in chanting the holy name and little bit of following the principles, taking prasadam, always associating with the devotees, they will get a little bit of all of these things. When they get it, they get some purity inside. They will start thinking, I've become now Sudeva Goswami, or a thought will come to their head in that way, isn't it? So then even they will think, what's the difference between me and Sudeva Goswami now? And I'm already experiencing that samadhi state, they will say. So that is what Krishna is saying here. If you look, you will see that this will last very long, only for a few days. Because that, even if they have got it, it is yogam, it is not jnanam. It is through yogam. Yogam, the difference between yogam and jnanam is, yogam will come and go, jnanam will not come and go. Jnanam, once it comes, it stays, it doesn't go away. Because jnanam has not come through your effort, it didn't come through your effort. Yogam comes through your effort. Effort has a lot to do with the yogam. Because satunam was there, therefore temporarily you it was very powerful inside, and it was very powerful, therefore asanam, pranayamam and all other yamam, niyamam, all these, when you practice, in a natural way you felt some shanti inside. Many of the yoga institutes, that's what happened. That they put the students through these two things. One side, yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, all the some yoga courses they practice. Simultaneously, they also control their diet. They also control the diet. When you do these two things together, they will get some shanti inside. But once you come out of that yoga institute and you live your other life in this world, you find that everything is wrong. This won't happen in jnanam. Jnanam, it cannot happen. Jnanam, once it goes, it has realized inside, it won't leave. It cannot go. Even if rajoguna tamoguna comes, still, the power of jnanam is such that gunam, he will know that those gunams have come and they will stay a while and then they will leave. He knows about that. So sometimes people will say that, I used to chant so many rounds and I used to do so many nice things in spiritual life. Now everything is gone. People say like that. I can't chant. I can't do any deity worship. I can't read Bhagavatam, I'm not getting any mood, or I'm not getting any interest to do that. Because why? If you do anything in spiritual life also, completely dependent on the modes of nature, then it will not last forever. Because modes of nature are changing. So that is why in spiritual life, any sadhana what you do, you got to be so clear in your own mind, that modes of nature should not dictate whether I should do sadhana or not. Sometimes people say, I'm not in a mood to chant today. When I'm in a mood, I'll chant 64 rounds once a year. And other days, I'm not in a mood. Or I'll wait for the mood to come to chant. That is all depending on the modes of nature. That should not happen in spiritual life. Irrespective of the mood is there or not, taking that spiritual life is beyond the modes of nature, we have to deal with the sadhana. You have to do the sadhana. Only then you will see, little by little, you will get that freedom from the mind. This is the way to go forward. If you want to get yourself free from the mind, that's the only way it can happen. That practice the sadhana in such a way that not to give importance to the mind or what the modes are dictating to us. That by practicing it on every day, whether not caring for what modes it is, you will slowly, you will come to understand that the mind cannot put that control on you anymore, and you will become, get released from the control of the mind. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, because you can see, when you have satunam, you will do it. When the dajogunam comes, disturbance comes in the mind, and after a while, tamogunam will come inside. Therefore, when satunam comes, you should try to build up satunam as much as possible. As much as possible. That is a sadhana itself. That's it. Sadhana itself. And therefore, aharam, food, anushtanam, all the sacrifices what you do, everywhere, satugunam is injected as much as possible. And if the satugunam is strengthened, then Krishna is saying here that alma inside will show its presence to us. Will show its presence to us. And that is my swarupa, my identity, isn't it? And that will come in by anubhuti mandala. That means in experience level, you will start experiencing that this identity with the body is false. Identity with the self is the right thing. That will come to us. And that is the mandala. And that mandala says that it is even beyond the three modes of nature. That is only when, but you have to pass through sattvagunam towards that before getting there. So, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. In these three planes, it doesn't happen. This experience of the self. When you come out from the three modes of nature, that is when it happens. But when you are coming out, you have to come out through the sattvagunam. Only then you will get it. Through rajogunam and tamogunam, you can't come out from the modes of nature. You can only come out from the modes of nature through sattvagunam. That is what Krishna is saying here. That all these injunctions is for that purpose. Build sattvagunam, build sattvagunam, build sattvagunam. Because if sattvagunam builds up, there is some hope. From the beginning of the Bhagavatam itself, it is spoken like that, isn't it? Sattval sajjaya dejnanam, Krishna is saying. Not that sattvagunam is so beautiful. That is not the reason. Reason is this, that in this complicated setup of three gunam, sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, if you want to get out of it, the exit route is through sattvagunam. Exit route is through sattvagunam. So, that mandala, that plane, which is beyond the three modes of nature, where we experience our identity of the self, who we are, what we are, the self, that that is what is present inside us, awareness, isn't it? Aham, aham, aham. And that is what is experienced now as jiva, chaitanya, ahankara, possible. That is not in the modes of nature. That ahankaram is not in the modes of nature. Ahankaram is outside the modes of nature, but you have to come out of the sattvagunam, and then you will know it that it is ahankaram. At the moment we don't know what is ahankaram. Is it not? So what we call as jiva chaitanya, living force inside jiva, jiva what we call it, which is the identification of this ahankaram. But ahankaram, which we identify as ahankaram now, is with the modes of nature. But when the modes of nature withdraws from us inside, and when we come out of it through the sattvagunam, and this ahankaram, what aham aham, what we experience there, that naturally will take us to the root of that ahankaram, which is that what we call as the aham bodham. Aham bodham. Ahankaram will take us to that aham bodham. But ahankaram will take us to aham bodham only when we get released from the three modes of material nature. Material nature. So when we talk about self-inquiry, you can see the difficulty in Jnanamargam. It is not so simple. That unless one has come to a very high degree of sattvagunam, this self-inquiry also is difficult. Self-inquiry is very difficult. That is why it suits some people who by virtue of their good sadhana or good sattva-shuddhi or chitta-shuddhi, that sattvagunam will happen, chitta-shuddhi will come either through bhakti or through jnana. Bhakti is meant for creating that chitta-shuddhi. Bhakti creates chitta-shuddhi, therefore bhakti sadhana, all the other processes like worship of the deity, Srimad Bhagavatam, Salsangam, everything is to push this sattva-shuddhi inside, chitta-shuddhi to bring up inside. So, that inquiry begins then. This is all an after effect of that Shraddha that comes from the effect of the sattvagunam, what is grown inside. So, in the Rajogunam what will happen, that thought waves will come and they won't allow you. That it will not allow you. Even if you want to study Bhagavatam, Rajogunam won't allow you to study Bhagavatam. It will put some spanner somewhere and make you feel that you are helpless. This is the nature of Rajogunam. You can observe yourself and you will see this happening. If you experiment in your own mind, you will see how this force of nature is coming on the way on your own spiritual path. Even if you thought in your mind for a second that I want to study Srimad Bhagavatam, read Bhagavatam or anything, Bhagavad Gita, immediately you will see some negative force building up inside. That's coming from the Rajogana, the thought waves. And if you ask that person, who are you? He will say, I am so and so. You will answer like that. So, adhyasam, that is called adhyasam. The problem due to adhyasam, that is. Due to adhyasam. Adhyasam, I have mentioned that many times before, isn't it? So, in tamogunam, he can't even hear anything. In sattvagunam, you can hear things properly. And if you come and stay, listen to Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, you will be able to hear properly. Sattvagunam helps there. Rajogunam, tamogunam won't help. Tamogunam, you can't hear anything. And Rajogunam, even if you hear something, you will all take it in the wrong way. Misunderstand things about things. Everything will be misunderstood. So, Rajogunam, they compare like this. One side you will be listening, and the other side, the radio will be working inside other stations. You know, on the radio, when you put it on, 3-4 stations is old radios, they used to do that, isn't it? If you switch it on for one station, the other stations who have got frequency, yeah, next to that, they will also come a little bit into it. So the Jogan is like that. You will be hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, but all the thoughts also will be coming along with that. Same time, it will be happening. You will be hearing Bhagavad Gita and also you will be thinking about the job. Or you will be thinking about some family problems or whatever. So together, this is all a symptom of that Jogan. Tamogunam you won't even hear. You will sit there and go back after that. So, Shravanam only happens in Sattvagunam. On Sattvagunam only it happens. And that is why Krishna is saying here that not only this, Rajogunam is the most difficult one. Because what? Okay, Tamogunam you are not hearing anything. It doesn't matter, I didn't hear anything. What can I do? I got slept there. Instead of sleeping at home, you slept here. Doesn't matter. But in Rajogunam, what it does is that it's like the radio is operating inside at the same time. And whatever you are hearing, some commentary will be coming from inside. Whatever you are hearing, there will be continuous commentary going on inside, saying, how can it be like that? That can't be right. Who does say this? Who says this? This is not agreeing with the Shastras, modern science. Doctors are saying like this. Shastra is saying all kinds of questions will be coming inside. This is all due to that Rajogunam inside. We ourselves have to look into our own mind and see how it is happening to all of us all the time. So that means, like Acharya Swami has written his Bhashyam, we will be writing a Bhashyam inside when we hear. So, and what else you will say? Oh, I heard about this in another class, somebody else saying like this. So this doesn't agree with that. Sukhachun is the right one. And what he has said is not correct. And the same words I have heard somewhere else. Which has, which word, where is it coming from? And what else? You want to know where it is coming, where it has come from. And you want to understand, verify everything. You want to verify everything. That is also Rajogunam Shravanam it is. Rajogunam's nature is what it is. If you look at yourself, you will understand this better. That at some time in life, at some point in time, you will start realizing a lot of things what we hear in spiritual life is also not useful. Many things, we have to know that, is this really helping me in my path in progressing spiritual life? That maturity, when it develops, you will notice certain things you can ignore and leave it behind. It doesn't matter. What does it matter? It's not affecting you anyway. But that maturity comes when the sattvagunam grows strongly inside. That is the advantage. Sattvagunam helps that to get yourself fixed in that state. Otherwise it will be wavering all the time in the mind. Like a pendulum, it will keep changing. So, Krishna is saying here that sattvagunam comes sattvagunam comes that clarity and that feeling of pleasant nature will come to that person In Tavogunam, Alasyam, Pramadam, Nidra. Krishna has spoken on these things before. I won't say any more than that. And that nature where is you can't listen. That is the Tamoguna. Impossible to listen to anything. You won't get anything from there. Physically you will be there, but nothing is going in. Nothing is going in. So Satoguna creates Sharvana Shakti, power of hearing, meditation. Two things. Able to hear things. Without getting disturbed by all what is going on in this world, still able to get focused in Bhagavad Gita. That is Satoguna. Or Bhagavad. So many things will go on in life, what can be done about it? There's so many problems otherwise. Why worry about all that? But that way, to get the mind free from that effect of the mind and the thought waves, and able to be absorbed in the Krishna's words, and to stick to them, that strength comes from Satoguna. It won't come in Rajoguna or the Tamoguna, you won't even hear it. So that staying in that Satoguna, when one experiences that, one experiences that silence inside, because there is no thought waves at that time. We have heard this music of the sound only, isn't it? But this music, what is inside at that time, in that silence, there is a music, yogis say like that, and the sweetness is much more in that state of that balance, what you experience there. That maunam, maunam means that silence inside, that is satoguna. So that is why Krishna is saying that aharam, what you take inside,
should take us to that state. See, if you look at that word, aharam sattva balam arogyam.
Sukham priti nivardhanam.
Rasya nidda stira arogyam.
Ahara sattvika priya. All this is the benefit of satugunam, and those who are engaged in adhyalma sadhana. Adhyalma sadhana means spiritual sadhana. For them, it is important. It is important particularly. in the bhakti process also, it will not be possible if you don't take notice of these things in the bhakti yoga. Ahara is a particularly an important aspect of the bhakti process. You can see some of the great devotees, how they live their life, isn't it? Remember, Sanatana Goswami used to take chapati without any salt, even. And Krishna had to ask for the salt. And Sanatana Goswami told Krishna, "I don't have the money to buy salt." That's what he said to him. "I don't have the money to buy salt." And and Krishna had to make that particular businessman force his ship to come closer, and it lost its anchor. You know the story is there about Sanatana Goswami, that a whole load of ship with salt got grounded in the Yamuna River, and plenty of salt was brought back to Sanatana Goswami, and they brought a lot of other grocery things. Because Sanatana Goswami was a very, very poor person. When practicing his bhajana in Vrindavan, he had to live like that. There was not much wealth, living so austere and simple life. So, there are so many Goswami stories in Vrindavan, you will see this. Haridas Goswami talked about that, that he used to complain the same thing. Krishna says to him, that every day you are offering me the roti without any salt in that. And he used to offer that and he used to eat that. One day Krishna says to him, "At least Goswamiji, you should give me some salt with that. It's very difficult to eat this what you are offering to me." Krishna says to him, Goswami says to him, "This is what I have got, and if you want to eat it," he says to him. Krishna. That's how their relationship was. "So if you want salt, you bring it," he said. "You bring it." And he offered that, and in the one day it so happened in the a boat was going in the Yamuna River, and there were so many groceries were carried away, and that boat got stuck in one of the places in the, and they tried very hard to remove it from the boat ferry where they anchor. They tried everything, didn't work, and the boatman came up and told that this is the situation at that time. And at that time, a young boy came there tending some cows there, and he told him there is one. This boy is telling him, this man who was this businessman, that there is one Swamiji here. He's got a lot of siddhis in him. If you go up to him and if you get his blessings, then everything will be okay. So this businessman, he heard this from this boy who told him this. And but boy told him that you have to give him something, you know, before you come back, once you get your boat is fixed. So he asked him, what do you have to give it to him? He said that what I've got here is salt and beet. This is what is my grocery that I was taking in. And there was plenty of that. So wheat was there, salt was there, jaggery was there, and oil was there. So when the boat got released from that, this Haridas Goswami, he managed to as appreciation of his, we went to this Goswami. Goswami told him, asked him, who sent you here to me? He said, there was one boy who was tending the cows there. He sent me here. He says to Goswami. Goswami understood, who is this boy? Krishna has got involved in this. Because Goswami said to him that I don't have any salt to offer. And he says, because Goswami told to Krishna that I don't have any income. I am a Goswami living here. I don't have any income. So if you want to solve, you arrange it yourself. This is what I have got, I will give that to you. He said. So this is the way Krishna has arranged the salt. So bag after bag, he brought all these things, the wheat, the salt, the jaggery, the oil, everything, and gave it to Sahasrara. This Haridas Goswami. So Swami says to him, this Swamiji, when he went, he said, I don't have any siddhis. So he says, who told you this then, to come here? He says, there was a young boy who was standing in the house, he told me. So, okay, he says, you can go, it will be alright, he said. This Haridas Goswami understood that. That if Krishna himself has arranged that, so I don't have to do anything, it will be alright when you go back, he said. He didn't tell him that Krishna has told you this. So when he went back there and pulled the boat, it came out from where it was stuck, isn't it? So he brought everything to the Goswami and gave it to him. And he said, no, I don't want all these things. So at that time he said that no, the boy has told me that I have to give everything. So there, this is the way Krishna operates. When Krishna wants something get done, he'll get it done, no matter what it happens. So then Krishna comes to Goswami and says to him, Goswami says to him, are you not ashamed to go and ask people for all these things? He says to Krishna, who Haridas Goswami says to him, so we are eating without this salt, and do you need salt, butter, ghee, everything, do you? That's conversation between, there's a book about this, different Goswamis in Vrindavanam, how they lived. That book is, if you read, you will see all these interesting stories there. That Krishna is having conversations with them, and devotees are teasing him. They are asking Krishna, you're not ashamed to go and ask for food from people like this? And we are living here without salt and without all these opulences. And you went there and managed to hold somebody's boat, get stuck there, and now food has come here. You're not ashamed, they ask this question. So, Krishna has played these games with the devotees in different places, in different ways. He has done this. It's not quite unusual, it's quite a usual thing. That is the way Krishna works with the devotees. So that is why Krishna's pastimes, when we discuss in the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly in the 10th canto, that it is indicating to us what their life was, how the devotees lived here, that some of them have eaten without salt, the food, isn't it? For them, Krishna is more important. The salt is not important. To that extent, nothing else is important for them in life. And many, many devotees have heard about this incident, what happened, and they started coming. So what did Goswami did? With all that food that was brought by this businessman, he cooked plenty of prasadam and gave it to all the devotees who came there. That's the heart of a devotee. That's the heart of a devotee. So, but many, many people used to come, and when they heard about this incident, they started bringing gold and expensive jewels, rings and things like that. And they used to offer all this to this Goswami. Goswami used to take it. After they have left, he will throw the whole thing into the river, into Yamuna river, all those things. And after a while, it's so happy because he knew that if I keep these things, I'm inviting trouble. Inviting trouble, that sensitivity. And so people notice these things, that they are coming and they are offering all these valuable things to him. So one day, some dacoits came there. They thought that he may have all this, so much gold is given to him by the devotees who come, jewelry and necklace and rings and things like that. So they thought that Swamiji must be having all those things there. Swamiji used to throw all of these things without anybody noticing it into the river. So they came to the ashram, this Adyas Goswami's ashram, and inquired from Goswamiji, where is all that thing? They couldn't get anything. He asked them, what do you want? He says to him, they told him that we thought when we came here that we'll get something from you. But there is nothing here. Where is everything? He said. So he told them that I thrown everything into the Yamuna river. You can go and get it from there. He said to them. They went into the river, and what happened was there's plenty of these things lying there. Because Swamiji told them where he has thrown them. It was lying in the depth of the river. They picked up all that, put it into their bag, and they were going away. And while going, they were thinking, and if he is giving it to us, these things, what he has thrown into the Yamuna river, he must have something better than this with him, which we don't know what it is. So they came back to him, and we don't need this. Let's go back to him and find out what he has got, and came back to him. And after coming back, they didn't leave again. All of them became great devotees later. Very great devotees later. So all these stories is trying to indicate to us, these are just like capsules for Satugunam, how to make us understand how Satugunam works in people's life. When Satugunam has taken you to that level, then attraction for all these material opulences, gold, things like that, won't be there in a person. Because he is very close to the goal, very close to the goal. That is what it is indicating to us. There is stories about Sanatana Goswami and also about this Haridas Goswami and things like that. Several stories like this in the story about that Goswami's story. There's so many books written about it now. It's available there. So, important thing is all this is Sattvagunam's strength to show it to us. Ayu Sattvam Balam Arogyam Sukham Preeti Vivardhanam Tasrasya Snigdha Sira Hridya Ahara Satvika Priya Ahara Satvika Priya. So Katha Bhagavatam particularly is very dear for those who are in Satvika, Satvika nature. They love the Katha, Bhagavatam Katha. So Katha is very special. Why? Particularly Krishna's pastime, those Katha. Katha Shravanam, shrivaning that Katha, it keeps your span of life intact. Katha Shravanam. And Katha Shravanam is like this food, Sattvagunam. It is another food in the Sattvagunam. Because Balam, Arogyam, Sukham, Preeti, Vivardhanam. Katha is like this. What is Krishna saying here? It's not only about the gross food what we consume. Rasya, Snigdha, Sira, Hridya. All this applies to Katha also. Bhagavata Katha. also. And all that kapha is very dear to those who are in the satvaguna. In the satvaguna, all that is eating, having satvaguna, it builds up satvaguna. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Krishna, 10th canto, is helpful in developing satvaguna. So filling up oneself with Krishna's pastime, hearing about that repeatedly, again and again, particularly from the 10th canto, that is, and fill the belly with that. Netraisho traisha bhitva paramarasa sudham bhodi bhure ramiram. Netrai shrotraisha bhitva. Drink nectar of Krishna through the eyes as well as through the ears. Shrotraisha bhitva bhodi bhure ramiram. So, and if it is done like that is one of the best ways of developing satvaguna in a person. The easiest process, you can control the food, prasadam, as the Krishna mentions here, ahara. But in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna has spoken this, the more advanced understanding of that is in the Bhagavad. Where Krishna is saying that those who are in the lowest modes of nature, yakshaha, rakshaha, and even animals, they have come through satvaguna and through kathashrama, hearing about Krishna. So hearing about Krishna is one of the most powerful forces to develop satvaguna inside. In a very natural way, it develops satvaguna inside. So for satvaguna, to increase the satvaguna, aharam is important. And continuously chanting the holy name helps. And chanting and at the same time necessary food, what is necessary to maintain the body, different in the body. There are so many personalities like this who have lived this life. If you look into the history, you will start to see that there's a story about this, that one yogi called Ram Surat Kumar. He was in Tirunamalai, he spent quite a lot of time there. And he was talking about that for a long period of time he used to wander around there in Tirunamalai. There's a large temple there, Arunachaleshwar temple. This Ram Surat Kumar came from Benares before, and somehow or other he decided to stay here. He was wandering around all over. For a long time he wandered around. And many people have seen him, they are living nowadays, who have seen him. And in his old age, he constructed an ashram himself. And there he made an agreement, those who are willing to chant the holy name, they will be given prasadam. That was his agreement with the people. So finally, somebody asked him one question. He said, how is your arrangement that you have created here? That those who are chanting, you will give them prasadam. So the yogi Surat Kumar told him, it's not working. He said, why? Because those who are eating prasadam, they are not chanting the holy name. And those who are chanting the holy name, they are not taking the prasadam. Various things happens like this. So what does it indicate to us? Indicating to us that even while eating aharam also, we got to be careful. That only if it is helping in our spiritual life, we should take it. Otherwise, it's no pointless. Suppose the ashram is giving plenty of free food, and we go and eat right up to this, and then you are not able to chant, then what is the use? It doesn't help. Is it not? So that's what he meant by saying that. He said, those who are chanting, they are not taking prasadam, because they have become so absorbed in the chanting. And those who are taking prasadam, they are not chanting. Because they are so full up, they can't chant. So that is what Krishna also says, isn't it? Yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta sutnava bhotasya, yoga bhavadi dukkha. In the 6th chapter. Everything yukta, that is Krishna's policy. What is necessary, you have to take it to keep the body going. Yuktahara viharasya. Similarly, even entertainment, viharasya, Krishna is saying there, yuktam. Yukta cheshtasya karma su. Karma also cheshta. Karma means whatever living you are doing, yuktam. Yukta cheshtasya karma su. Yukta sopnao bhogasya. That even in the dream state, it should be within limits, everything. Sleep also, to a limited way, yukta su. Yogo bhavati dukaha. Krishna says he will transcend, come to the yoga state. He will transcend everything. Will transcend everything. So chanting the holy name creates chitta shuddhi. It creates chitta shuddhi. So, and if you want to chant properly, the aharam should be satyam. Aharam should be satyam. And in that pure chittam, the knowledge of the self will build up. Akhandakara. Akhandakara means unbroken way. It will happen. What it means is, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence. This conviction will come very strongly inside. And instead, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam or Chaitanya Living Force, that will come very strongly there. And Jnana, knowledge of the self, will shine inside like the sun. Like the Adityaval Prakashayati. Krishna says that before. Remember that? In the 13th or 14th chapter. Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayati Talparam. Not in the 13th, earlier. Much earlier. In the 4th or 5th chapter, he says. Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayati Talparam. Krishna says. I think it is in the 5th chapter. Or 7th. Tesham Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayati Talparam. Krishna says. That's the last two lines. Beginning is Tesham Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayati Talparam. Adityaval Jnanam. What does that mean? Like the sun comes out in the morning, in the same way, Alma will come out from inside, saying that here I am, who I am. That identification with the Alma will become strengthened. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayati. Then, in the heart, that Alma Jnanam, Alma Nibhavam, or Samadhi state, if that has to happen, the foundation for that is this food in the mode of goodness, Satuna. If you unbalance, if something balance goes in that eating, everything will be disturbed. That is why Krishna is saying there, Ahara Satya Priyaha. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Ahara Satya Priyaha. That is why importance of that Ahara will be Satoguna. Ahara will be Satoguna. So, we will look at the Rajogunam now. What Rajogunam does to us. All this what we have spoken is about Satoguna. Satoguna means Satvic nature. What is the Yogunam? Let's look at that word. Katvam galavana krishna. Krishna ruksha vidahina. Ahara radhasa syesha. Dukha shoka maya prada. Katvam galavana krishna. Krishna ruksha vidahina. Ahara radhasa syesha. Dukkashoka mayavaha mayapradam.
Dukkashoka mayapradam.
That's it. That is Rajasa. Katvam amlam levanam atyushnam. Tishnam ruksha vidahinam. Aharam rajasa syeshtam. Dukkham shoka mayapradam. Shoka mayapradam. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery and disease. So, katu amla levana tishna, tishna yuksha vidahina, ahara rajasa syeshta, dukha shoka mayaprada. Dukha shoka mayaprada. So, I think we will start that on Friday. Good Friday at 7 o'clock. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Jai Prabhu ki.